My Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall arise, righteous men in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. To the God that looks high, who sits high, looks low. And for mankind who sits low and looks high, there's a word from the Lord. And we need that word. Because Jesus himself said that man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is good to be here this morning. There are a lot of places that we could be. I think the first place that comes to mind is to be in bed. Believe me. Yesterday when I was up here talking to Brother Moss, I let him know. The spirit is willing. Oh, but the flesh is mighty, mighty weak. He called me last night around, 10 o'clock, preacher? He said, are you going to make it? I said, so far, so good. Other places that we might want to be is outside, looking at the beautiful sunshine. Listen to the birds as they chirp and watch them wing their ways through the heavens. But I'm like David. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So even though I may not have been feeling a little spry, but feeling just a little low, I was still glad to be here this morning. Amen. Sometimes when I greet my classmates, they'll say, glad to see you. I say, I'm glad to be seen. Glad to be in a position where I'm not looking up and people looking down and I can't see them looking down. This morning's topic is very simple. Coming from scriptures that we have read over and over and over again. If you have your book, the Bible, let's turn to John chapter 14. And the verses for our consideration this morning is verse number 2 and verse number 3. I'm a simple preacher like Jesus. I don't use a whole lot of words over 6 letters. So if you're looking for hermeneutical, exegetical type of synthesis, turn the page. As Brother Moss has started tradition, please read after me this morning. John chapter 14, beginning with verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and repair a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. The title for your concern and encouragement this morning, 3 simple words, I'll be back. Can you say that with me this morning? I'll be back. Now, For your consideration, there are 3 points I'd like to try to make. The first one, looking at the phrase, I'll be back, as a scare tactic, a serious threat, and a promise fulfilled. A scare tactic, a serious threat, and a promise fulfilled. Now I know you're wondering how I get all that from those 3 words. Bear with me and we shall see. When growing up as children, and maybe even as teens, at least back in my day anyway, things were not always rosy, cheery, and happy-go-lucky. Sometimes there were troubles, problems, or nowadays they say issues. And sometimes these issues reach harsh vocal levels. You know, fussing, arguing, cussing. They sometimes reach rough physical contact. You know, wrestling, slapping, socking. And then there were times when you tried to avoid such. In my day, we did things called selling wolf tickets. No, you all today don't know about wolf tickets. Wolf tickets were sold for one main reason, possibly even two. Currently, you didn't have the power in your possession to overcome the issue. But mainly, you were scared and figured if you sold a big enough wolf ticket, it would scare the person causing the issue off. Either way, the wolf ticket was meant to trick the other party or parties out of thinking they were a real threat to you and that you were more than capable of handling them, and you were going to handle them. The drawback was, if you weren't a good enough salesman. So you always had this in the back of your mind, preacher. I don't know about you, but I was small growing up. When I got into high school, 9th grade, I weighed 90 pounds, 4 feet, 11 inches tall. So all I had was a wolf ticket. See, back in my day, we had to pay what you call block fee. That means if you wanted to cross a block, walk down the block, you had to pay first, walk later. Or run first, and fight later. Now, so you always had in the back of your mind, I hope I'm not selling a wolf ticket that someone will cash in. If it looked like the wolf ticket wasn't going to work, if it wasn't going to do the job, you could always fall back on this phrase. You better not be here when I get back. Knowing full well, preacher, your intention was not to come back. All that was that I'll be back was just a scare tactic. But now I'll be back can be a serious, serious threat. It can also mean imminent danger. In the movie, The Terminator, I know you all remember that movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger made the statement, I'll be back. He said this to the sergeant at the police desk in the front of the police station. But now when he made this statement, he did not intend to bring back soft drinks and sandwiches.
No, sir.
He did not intend to bring back their favorite coffee and donuts.
No, sir.
His intentions were to come back with something that would gain their attention and let them take notice of Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Yes, sir.
Arnold's coming back, when he said, I'll be back,
yeah,
was going to be serious and meant imminent danger.
Yeah.
In the Bible, we read of such a threat when the children of Israel left Egypt just before reaching the Sinai wilderness. Just to go back and set the stage, once they left Egypt, they were coming to the wilderness as they roamed about, making their way to the Sinai so they could speak with God. That was a nation called Amalek. They had to cross their territory. So Moses besought them to say, can we cross your territory in peace? Ain't no way. Simple words. That's all. You know, no. What's the harm? And that's just like when I was growing up, my grandmother, bless her heart, we lived one block from the school. And kids would come home and they would cross the yard. They just cut across the yard because we stayed on the corner. My grandmama in the door. Get out of my yard. She didn't want you cutting across her yard. Her thinking was, if you continue to walk across that yard, what's going to happen? You're going to kill that grass and make a path. I guess Amalek saw all those children of Israel. Said, y'all going to be trouble. So now y'all can't come this way. So as they had been murmuring to Moses, Moses, we don't have any water. Moses, ready to just, I don't know, sometimes even we get it, we just ready to throw our hands up and leave people alone. But God told Moses to strike the rock, and they had abundance of water. So while they were camped there, receiving water from the rock that Moses had struck, they were attacked by the nation of Amalek. With no warning, no cause, making Amalek the first nation to wage war against Israel. After the battle, God gave Moses these instructions in Exodus 17:14. Write this in a permanent record to be remembered forever and announce to Joshua that I will utterly blot out the trace of Amalek. No, he said, every trace of Amalek. That's the Living Bible translation. What are you saying, Lord? He's saying simply this, I'll be back. Now, do you want to see if God came back or not? All you have to do is turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1, but particularly verse number 2. The prophet Samuel tells King Saul God's command for him to do. And he says this, I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for refusing to allow my people to cross their land. Now, one thing you don't want to do is make God mad. And he said, I'll be back. This is the pronounced judgment against Amalek. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation. Men, women, babies, little children, oxen, sheep, camels, donkeys. Don't leave anything alive. When the Lord God says he's going to be back, Lord have mercy. He will be back. As Paul says in Romans 12:19 of God, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In Matthew 25:14-30, Jesus tells a parable about a hard, crooked boss man. This boss man gave out talents in the amounts of 5, 2, and 1 to his employees. Now, you won't find these exact words in there, but I'm trying to make it relevant in our day. The hard, crooked boss man left on a long journey. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but the implications are there that this boss man is really saying, I'll be back. Well, two of the employees put the money that was given to them to good use and multiplied that money 100%. However, one hid the money and did nothing. So after being gone a long time, the hard, crooked boss man returned home. He commended or congratulated the two employees that had doubled his money. But the one who hid it and did nothing, he condemned. So this is what the employee said to the boss. He said, boss man, I knew you were a hard, harsh man and a crook. So I was scared. I was scared. And I thought that I might lose your money. So that's why I hid it. That way I knew I could give you your money back. In essence, he said the scare tactics of his boss man worked. They got to him. Yet and still, he ended up suffering. I really cut this message down for today. A promise fulfilled. In Genesis chapter 3, we find the fall of man in the Garden of Eden after eating the forbidden fruit. God announces punishment for all involved. But he also makes a promise to send through the seed of the woman one who will conquer the old serpent and deliver mankind. What are you saying, God? I'm saying, I'll be back. I see in John 1:1 that promise being fulfilled. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, not anything was made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and the flesh dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, I see in John chapter 6:51 that promise fulfilled. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And that bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Again, I see in Luke chapter 4:18, that promise again being fulfilled. Jesus Christ standing before the Sanhedrin and those people in the Jewish synagogue saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Again, in Matthew chapter 6:21, John chapter 2:19, John chapter 12:32, and John 14:1, I see both promises made and fulfilled. I must go and suffer and die in Jerusalem, destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there you may be also. What you're saying, Christ? I will be back. Yeah. One last promise in Luke 22:70, Luke 23:3, 21:33-46, and Luke 24:11, I see a promise fulfilled. Jesus answers, I am the Son of the living God. I am the King of the Jews. Yeah. Those Jews crying out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus being crucified on the cross, crying out, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Then giving up the ghost. But early one Sunday morning, the angel of the Lord declares Jesus no longer is in the grave but risen. But this is not the last promise to be fulfilled. The disciples watched as Jesus rose up to heaven. The angel said, why stand ye here watching. The same way he left, he's coming back again. Meanwhile, I want you to remember this as I conclude. If you need A, absolution, Jesus said, I will be back. B, if you need belief, Jesus said, I will be back. C, if you need comfort, Jesus said, I will be back. D, if you need deliverance, Jesus said, I will be back. If you need E, encouragement, Jesus said, I will be back. F, if you need a friend, Jesus said, I will be back. If G, need grace, Jesus said, I will be back. H, if you need hope, Jesus said, I will be back. I, if you need infix, a fixing of your mind, Jesus said, I will be back. J, if you need justification, Jesus said, I will be back. K, if you keep kindness, Jesus said, I will be back. L, if you need love, Jesus said, I will be back. M, if you need motivation, Jesus said, I will be back. N, if you need a nudge, Jesus said, I will be back. O, if you need an omen, Jesus said, I will be back. P, if you need a push, Jesus said, I will be back. Q, if you need quickening, Jesus said, I will be back. R, if you need to rush, Jesus said, wait, I will be back. S, if you need a savior, Jesus said, I will be back. T, triumph, Jesus said, I will be back. U, if you need upkeep, Jesus said, I will be back. V, if you need a victory, Jesus said, I will be back. W, if you need washing, Jesus said, I will be back. X, if you need extra, Jesus said, I'll be back. Z, if you need zeal, Jesus said, I will be back. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. He also said to those that are looking for him to come back, and even to those that are not looking for him to come back, and for those that don't believe he's coming back, he says this, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is in my hand, to give to every man according as he what? Has worked. If you don't work, what? No pay. If you have no faith, what? No pay. Just think about it. Jesus has done so much for each and every last one of us. He didn't just come into this world just to come into this world. Back when the foundation of the world was being created, drafted by God, he looked down the stream of time and saw Sam Wyatt being a hard-headed little black boy. And said, I'm going to have to do something to help that boy out. Grandma whooping ain't going to be enough. So I'm going to send my son Jesus to take the kind of whipping that he really deserves. To be strapped to that big old log. To be whipped with metal and glass and leather. Till his back is bleeding. Press a crown of thorns on his head till the blood trickle down his temples to his chin. To stretch him out on a wooden cross, to nail his hands and his feet to that cross. Give him the type of whipping that he really can't take. Just think about it. Jesus was awake during all of this suffering. I guarantee you, I would have passed out a long time ago. They never would have been able to wake me up. But Jesus took all of that suffering for you and for me. And for one reason, that someday, one day, that you will be able to live with God in total peace. The only way you can live with God in total peace is that your sins have been forgiven. Because God said, if you have sin, you can't come where I am. Because I'm a holy God. And only things that are holy can come up here. He said, well, wait a minute now. I'm not holy any longer because I've done wrong stuff. But the blood of Jesus can cleanse every stain. The blood of Jesus can break every chain. The blood of Jesus can do more than what the blood of bulls and goats could ever do. It can do more than no matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter how high your credit score is, know how pretty you look or how handsome we are. The only thing that's going to matter when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and for him to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, receive those things that have been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, is that you hear his gospel, how he came into this world, lived, died, was buried, and rose again the third day, a conquering king, saying to me in the book of Revelations, I am he that once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and hell around my waist. And when Jesus has it, no one can take it away from him. You have to believe that. You have to repent of your sins. Repentance is simply saying, make it up in your mind, I'm not going to live the way that I used to live. I'm going to turn my life around with the help of Jesus. Sometimes we say, once I get myself together, I'm coming to church. Those are the same words to begin fairy tales. Once upon a time. And they never come true. Paul says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Confess your faults. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. This confession brings life to you, but it brought death to Jesus. Being baptized in the watery grave of baptism, going down, leaving that dead man, washing all that away, coming up to walk in newness of life, and then being faithful unto death. In the lectureship, there is only two places that you can really prepare to go to. Two places. And I'm not talking about home or out to eat dinner. I'm talking about heaven or hell. And believe me, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to acknowledge this fact or not, you are either preparing yourself a place in hell or you're preparing yourself a place in heaven. Jesus wants to help you for your place in heaven. Now, if you've done all these things, but yet you find yourself weak, you find yourself a falling back some, or you hadn't lived up to your Christian responsibilities, all you have to do is repent, confess, pray, and get to work. Jesus said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because night comes. Right. What you saying, Jesus? One day we're going to die. Right. And when night comes, no man can work. Okay. I've never seen a dead man punching the clock. Never seen a dead man ride the bus on the way to work. Never seen a dead man behind the computer. Why? When you're dead, you're done. And after death, the judgment. Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come. If you're here today, I beseech you, brother, friends, family, acquaintances, visitors, in the name of Jesus, while the blood is running warm in your veins, come to him. Come to him. There's so much happening in the world today. I've rode on so many airplanes preaching, 30, 45, 50,000 feet up in the air. And you know something? When you look out that window, all I can say was, Lord, have mercy. Just a few days ago, 100 plus people lost their lives on a plane. Just a few days ago, a young black man shot down or shot 7 different individuals. Wasn't that here in the state? Up to Alabama A&M? Florida? Florida A&M. Well, I knew it was close. But now, think about it. We can dismiss. We can be laughing and talking, and you can be on your way home and become a T-bone sandwich. You can lay down tonight to get a good night's rest and wake up in eternity. I'm begging with you and pleading with you, get your life together today. Not just you, myself as well. You know why? I can't preach a sermon that does not talk to me. So brothers, sisters, friends, if you have a need, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Just the same. Just the same.